Shalom liYehudim, shalom lebnei Noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Tu B'Av, Tes Vav, Menachem Av, Parashas Eschanan, Tavshinayin Tes 5779. The evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 15 August 2019, webcasting from Israel. As of late afternoon, strongly rumored to have decided to keep those two Muslim congresswomen from entering the country, thanks to Aryeh Deri, Minister of the Interior, representative of Jews from Muslim lands, thank God. President Trump said, keep these two out of Israel, versus Steny Hoyer, House Majority Leader, a longtime friend of Israel, who has warned against doing that. Bad repercussions within the Democratic Party. I'm disappointed that Israel chose not to flip these women by cutting a deal with them. I would say, you want to visit the empty National Museum of Palestine, and maybe even pay respects at the grave of that Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood imposter Arafat, the Adolf Hitler of the age? Okay, no problem. But first, you must visit the Diaspora Museum and the memorial to the Jews in Hebron, butchered like animals by animals in human form, their co-religionists. They should visit the center of Jerusalem as well, where 10 young nubile, that means marriageable Jewish young adults, were prevented from ever marrying by being murdered by a Muslim who exploded himself in their midst and blew them to bloody smithereens. Instead, it's significant that Aryeh Deri will become the target as the religious Haredi Jew, the racist who disdains all Arabs. That's why he's doing it. That's what the enemies will say. But seen from another angle, it is right that a Jew from the Eastern communities, as they're called in modern Israel, if not the Jews of Islam, because unlike the European Ashkenazi Jews, who with the emancipation intermarried like crazy, the Jews from Iraq to Morocco never did that, for a couple of good reasons. The emancipation first never reached Islam. Only under European colonial control, the English, the French, the Italians, did the local Jews in Araby enjoy a much better and almost equal status. They even thrived in places like Iraq, Egypt, Morocco, under colonial rule, Algiers too, only to be thrown back during World War II when the colonial administrations followed the mainland and became Vichy Nazi puppets. Think of Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart. They did revoke the equality of the Jews that they had enjoyed under the French, and return them to dhimmi status, that is, without those rights. In Iraq, there was also the Farhud, the pogrom. In Baghdad, in June of 1941, hundreds of Jews murdered. Jews shot, Jewish shops looted, ransacked, homes as well, Jews raped. In Algeria, all the Jews in that colonial administration during the war, including school teachers and government bureaucrats, were fired from their jobs. So that was a good news item today. In the future, finally, the schools here will teach what happened during the Holocaust in the Arab Muslim countries, which they never did. That's significant about Ashkenazi-led Israel. It's good and right, therefore, that Aryeh Deri, representing Edot HaMizrach, the Eastern communities, has no problem telling these Muslim harpies they're not welcome in our country. He seems to be saying to them, you insult us, you call us Nazis, and expect us nonetheless to welcome you into our country? In doing that, you dehumanize us. Would either of you accept into your homes? In fact, play host to and serve someone as a guest who called you a terrible name. And if you think that because the U.S. government supports Israel, Israel must obey when elected American officials demand to visit, you got to think again. And it will not surprise if Israel is called racist for refusing to receive these two. It's good and right that Aryeh Deri is Mizrahi from the East, for whom begging for love from the Gentiles was never their affliction. That's a peculiarly Ashkenazi problem. The Sfaradim did not intermarry with their Goy neighbors for a couple of reasons. First, the gap in cultures was so unbridgeable. The story of European Jewry since Christians in Europe began to abandon the faith has been one of rampant assimilation and intermarriage that ended in Auschwitz versus the Mizrahim who did not go down that path. Aryeh Deri comes from a community that never felt inferior to their Goyim, no matter how poor they were. How could they feel that when the Muslims all around were illiterate In 1936, the first intifada erupted here, called the Arab Revolt by historians. That led to a commission of inquiry coming from England, the Peel Commission. And when the August panel of judges listened to all kinds of testimony, including reports from mandatory officials, they heard a report on the status of education in Mandatory Palestine, where it was estimated that 93% of Arab men were illiterate, the women almost 100%. Aryeh Deri couldn't be less concerned with the feelings of the Democrats in the House of Representatives that two of their members are barred, denied entry into our country. He's not interested in wooing the liberal Jews in America who voted against Trump in 2016. He doesn't think like them. These two women have no right to spit in our faces and then expect us to invite them into our country. Members of the American Congress, they may be, but they're still two human beings who tell lies about us, which is the principal diagnostic for measuring the presence of the anti-Jew virus in a person's psyche. No, I'm still waiting for an American politician to open his or her mouth and take note that Rashida and Ilhan are perfectly unoriginal in everything they say. All one hears from them are the clichés of Islam about Israel and Jews. And for this, it's a waste of emotion to be angry at these two. We should be grateful for the exposure to the contents of the Arab Muslim mind, which should motivate some Americans towards serious consideration for ending immigration from Muslim lands. That would be the rational thing to do, though perhaps dangerous given the breakdown of civilization unfolding before our eyes, the violence of the anti-Trump types in the West, the Antifa thugs, the thugs throwing water on police, the absence of civilization in central Chicago, the violence against Jews we have never seen in American history. That, too, is something new. I don't think there was ever a period in which Jews were being abused in the street physically like this. And to my mind, there are organic connections between so many of these social pathologies, the anti-Semitism, the opioid epidemic, the homeless in the streets of formerly beautiful California cities and elsewhere, evacuating in the streets, the utter corruption of the deep state people, Clinton and their cronies, that serial rapist and his accomplice, his wife, the bestowing of love and approval on sodomy and lesbianism, and the pathological narcissism of the misnamed transgender delusion, whose founding delusion is the fiction of there being such a thing as gender altogether, a wholly psychological, intangible inner sense that no expert in human anatomy can locate in the brain or elsewhere in the body. The word gender 50 years ago was used exclusively for the behavior of many languages, if not English, to classify nouns and adjectives as either masculine or feminine, sometimes neuter as well. This concept was pilfered from the realm of language, of words. And it's no accident that we live in an age in which language itself is corrupt. The Palestinian nation is a corruption, for this nation has no attributes of nationhood. It's a hologram of a nation that seems to be there but is not. It's a verbal Fata Morgana, a verbal mirage. Islamophobia is another corrupt word. White nationalism, white supremacy, as if there are ideologies and political movements of these false ideas. Homophobia, sexual orientation, LGBTQ, whatever, versus deviant sexuality. That describes the reality. The former is a mysterious sequence of letters. But I digress. There is, though, an upside to the soap opera that never ends of these two shamelessly primitive Jew haters in Congress. And that is the news today of proof of my hypothesis, which was the title of the webcast 11 days ago that I entitled, quote, Tulsi Gabbard, Anti-Jewess. At that time, my evidence was little more than a second of her speech when she expressed opposition to the military reinforcement in the Gulf ordered by President Trump and spoke the name Bibi Netanyahu as being behind the move in such a way as to remind yours truly of Pat Buchanan. And now today, JNS reports that that disgusting anti-Semitic pro-BDS resolution submitted to Congress by Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, and John Lewis, comparing Israel to South African apartheid and Nazi Germany, It has now received support from Tulsi Gabbard, the Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii, which I consider good news. We now have the good news that she has identified herself as an anti-Jew.
השיר ששרה הציפור לך, האם שמרת בחיסך את העלה שנחל ראשך? האם כבר שרת שיר היום? האם מצאת שביל היום? האם הקשבת לחלום? האם ברכת לשלום? אדם בודד הולך כולך, לעולם לא תדע מה עובר לו בנשמה. הקשבת היום, האם פינית מקום בזמן לשפוך לבך כמים בן אדם? לאן מיהרת היום? בספסל עצרת לנשום, כן כל אדם צריך מדי פעם לעצור ולהביט לשמיים. שמעת את השיר ששרה הציפור לך, האם שמרת בחיסך את העלה שנחל ראשך? האם כבר שרת שיר היום? האם מצאת שביל היום? האם הקשבת לחלום? האם ברכת לשלום? אדם בודד הולך מולך, לעולם לא תדע מה עובר לו בנשמה. אספת היום, את מה השלחת במקום? שנים ניסית לבלום, לגזום, לפרום, אך לא באמת העזת לומר שלום. ענה לי לפני שיהיה מאוחר מדי, מלא לי בי כי לא אומר לך די, לא אומר לך די. השביל שגילית פתאום ואספת מאבני המקום, ביקשו העיניים את עצמם לצום, להביט פנימה בסולם שהופיע בחלום.
And there were a couple of other things to say about last Sunday's rioting on our holy site that were not said last webcast. First of all, for sure, we know the world does agree it is the holiest site on the planet. Otherwise, the Goyim would not have fought over who owns it, lo, these thousands of years. Versus we Jews, who have absolutely no interest in occupying and dispossessing Christians from the Vatican City or Muslims from Mecca, versus the plethora of Gentiles who object to Israel ruling and owning Jerusalem all by ourselves. They say it should belong to all peoples. The liberals speak like that, in particular the ignoramuses who call themselves Reform Jews. It bears repeating that for the primitives among our neighbors here, who are aggressing against us all the time, they saw Jews bent on Sunday on destroying Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Shabab, that's the Arabic for the youth, the faithful Ishmael clones, stopped them by their heroics. That's how PATV reported the day's events. The Jews just wanted to be there and pray, but that was seen by PATV, which, by the way, was a gift to the terrorists from St. Simon of Oslo as part of his delusional Oslo peace process. He deprived Arabs in Israel with citizenship of one of their TV channels and gave it to the new PA, which ever since has broadcast shameless anti-Semitism. Thank you, Uncle Shimon. The PATV evidently covered the day's violence with that heroic narrative, with Israeli coverage also less than what it should be. Uniformly, the MSM here, even the right-wing sites, took note of the clashes, which had been feared ahead of time because Tisha B'Av coincided this year with Eid al-Adha, that the Israeli media said uniformly was the conclusion of the daily 40-day Ramadan half-fasts. That's another idea they stole from us, by the way, the idea of a half-fast. But that's not the whole story. The Israeli media sometimes translated Eid al-Adha as Feast of the Sacrifice, but went no further. They did not explain what sacrifice. And that Israelis stopped there is a defect attributable to their history as the creation of post-religious people. Put another way, Israelis don't want to know what Eid al-Adha is all about, for if they did, they would lose their fantasy of peace with our neighbors. Eid al-Adha commemorates the binding of Ismail, not of Ishak. Al-Yahud lies, Muslims say, in their false Torah, when they write that Ishak was bound for a sacrifice by Ibrahim. And the Jews also say it happened on Haram al-Sharif, when the prime destination of the Muslim pilgrim to Mecca is where this historic event took place. The Hajj, the pilgrimage, is one of the five commandments Muslims have. The very idea of a commandment, a list of commandments with a number, was another idea they stole from us. The Hajj, which is a corruption of Hag, meaning to go around. The Hajj commands at least one visit to Mecca in a lifetime, during which the visit validates the believer's belief that Al-Yahud stole the Quran from Musa and rewrote it. Islam is a form of anti-Semitism that is deeper than the Jew hatred in Christian scripture. Evidence of that are the millions of pro-Israel Christians today versus the absence of even one pro-Israel Muslim. Every year when I read about the Israeli Prime Minister or President of Israel at this time sending good wishes to the Muslims on Eid al-Adha, I cringe. One must not be reckless and foolish and unnecessarily provocative by speaking the truth to the Muslims about their violent, larcenous religion. What one can do is just be silent and not abase oneself by honoring Islam in any way. The absence in the Israeli media of any reference to this most important Muslim feast and what it connotes is unfortunate, for it denies Israelis with a deeper understanding of the enemy, of these Arab Muslims who fire rockets into our homes and pounce upon our people in the street to knife them to death. Why commonly shouting Allahu Akbar, which means the conception of God that Muslims hold is the correct one, and everyone else is wrong and should be punished for holding on to their false religious beliefs when they should convert. That's the long explanation. Allahu Akbar literally means not God is great as many people think, but Allah is the greatest, which is a superlative, a comparative. It presumes the existence of other conceptions of God or gods and touts the primacy of their own conception and their obligation to get the world to agree with their conception as the correct conception. If their world doesn't agree, they must live at a lower level than believers or be killed. Classical Muslim Sharia divides society into three parts. There are believers, there are idolaters, and dhimmi. That is historically the Jews, the Christians, now the extinct Sabaeans. The idolaters, the polytheists, can be ordered by a Muslim to convert immediately, And if the polytheist pagan refuses, the Muslim has the license to kill him on the spot. Not so the Dhimmi, which word literally means the protected ones, though what protected means is rarely explained. Protected from what? From being forced to convert. The Dhimmi are allowed to remain in their religion, but they have to pay a whopping communal tax for the right to continue with their religion. It's punishment for their arrogant, stubborn refusal to agree that Islam is the correct form of Ibrahim's religion. But it also meant, in practice, protected by the authorities from being ravaged and looted by believers, because the Jews were so useful to the tyrants, whose people were commonly Stone Age primitives, versus the Jews who were literate in many languages, who knew business math, who could keep records and be useful to the regime. They wanted to protect them from the barbarism of their own Muslim people. Islam is a totalitarian culture fitting for slaves of slaves. Submission to the point of oblivion is characteristic of Islam, evidenced by the unique in the world glorification of murdering people at random and committing suicide in the process, which launches the Shaheed, the martyr, immediately into Muslim paradise, which is a 24/7 eternal drunken orgy. The rivers in Muslim paradise flow with the wine Muslims are forbidden in this life. It's a drunken orgy of endless rape of virgins, too. Israelis, I imagine, would rather not know what Islam is really like, which is one major reason why it's never talked about and why all peace plans based on material things must fail. Moshe Dayan, in 1967, thought he and his post-Jewish Zionists could just wave away with the wave of a hand the importance of the Temple Mount and who owns it, when the murderous aggression of the Muslims is what their violent hatred is all about.
שוחד מעבר עקרונות ואז בא הנגר הרחזר מודד ובונה לילדים הקטנים ארונות כמה אפשר לראות שחור כמה מכות עוד יבואו בגלל שאתה נאור כמה נמות עד שתודה שאתה שחצן שיקור שלום חבר אתה חסר אבל אני מצטער מאוד מאחר מתחת לשולחני במשרד מחכה זוג שפתיים מלב לב המנהל של העולם לא עומד בסמלה ומקשקש סיסמאות ואנחנו שרים לדלה סליחה ריבונו של עולם סליחה ומחילה זה לא כחול ולא לבן זה לא הצבע שלי לא צבעי אדמתי לא דמותי לא מזכיר לי את עצמי שלום, הגעתי מהשואה כבר כמה שנים אני מצלצלת מבוקר עד ערב אין אצלכם תשובה תקשיבי זקנה, לכי לך מכאן ממילא כבר תכף תמותי אז חבל על הזמן תקחי איזה כדור אם יש לך אין לנו זמן רציתי להגיש תלונה כבר כמה שנים אני משתדל להפציץ את נרות בקצב מסחרר אבל התקציב שאתם נותנים לי לא מספיק אני צריך לשכלל ועוד כמה מקומות להספיק יש הוצאות יש פועלים רוצחים להחזיק זה לא כחול ולא לבן זה לא הצבע שלי לא צבעי אדמתי לא דמותי לא מזכיר לי את עצמי זה לא כחול ולא לבן זה לא צבע שלי לא צבעי אדמתי את עצמי. La 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 la. לא דמותי, לא מזכיר לי את עצמי.
Listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, I guess a major feature of being an Israeli is not confronting the reality that we are under attack constantly by our neighbors for religious reasons. That is a thesis of my book, Palestinian Nationalism is Just a Cover Story for a Pre-Existing Condition, the pre-existing condition of religious hatred. The night before Sunday's events, Zahava Galon, former head of the Anti-Religious Meretz Party, advised the government not to permit Jews the next day to mount the Temple Mount, not because Jews do not have the right to pray there, she believes they do, but realizing that the next day could lead to unnecessary flare-ups, she said, quote, "There are too many factors wishing to take advantage of the Temple Mount to turn the conflict from a national conflict into a religious conflict between us and the entire Muslim world," close quote. Yeah, I reference in my book this idea expressed by the famous scientist of politics, Dr. Joseph Balin, Ph.D., and Zipporah Livni, saying exactly the same thing decades ago. I've said this for years. This is the thinking of the post-religious Israeli left, who consciously define the conflict as political and were responsible for inventing the Palestinians as much as the Palestinians invented themselves. And it's not religious because they rightfully see that if it's religious, there will be no peace. So they want it to be political and see it that way. The secular Jewish nationalism, Zionism, as opposed to Judaism, though, has proven itself to be a failure in that regard. That was the whole purpose of the movement, an escape from anti-Semitism, which the Zionists never understood. Never understood that in the 19th century when it arose, it was at the time fake news. The post-Christian Europeans, who still hated Jews without the theological excuse, in keeping with the temper of the times, it was the age of Darwin and Marx, they rebranded the Jews as a race, a Semitic race, a biological fact. That explained the persistent hostility to the Jews, which they renamed anti-Semitism. They were opposed to Semites trying to integrate into Europe. As African blacks were incapable of doing that, so were Asiatic Semites, the Jews. The Zionists never understood that anti-Semitism was nonsense and nothing more than Jew hatred in an age of atheism. Hatred of the Jew morphs from generation to generation depending upon the evolving societal events and circumstances. One news item this week was further evidence of what I'm talking about. 2 days ago, granddaughter of the late Yitzhak Ben Nechemia Rabin, Noah Rothman, went to Ramallah to meet with Dr. Abbas, the famous historian, who is as respected in that profession as David Irving. Noah Rothman took a picture standing shoulder to shoulder with him, and afterwards she tweeted, quote, "I met a leader who was concerned over radicalization in Israeli and Palestinian society." Moral equivalence. She spoke of, quote, "the hopelessness and lack of dialogue with the understanding that both sides have no other home and other neighbors. As an Israeli, I'm angry and disappointed that in the last decade Netanyahu, not the prime minister, has done nothing to advance the diplomatic process, not even minimal steps of dialogue in order to bring calm to the south. Our leadership is failing to act to protect us and move us forward," close quote, and so on and so forth. Dialogue. Never mind that this character has refused all dialogue since Trump came into office. And so on and so forth. More empty yearning by her. What is typical of these thoroughly de-Judaized Israelis like her is their inability to see that the hatred that Israel receives from these neighbors of ours and their backers in the West is the same hatred Jews have been afflicted with for thousands of years. No, the content does not remain the same. That's always changing. What is the same is the delusions and beliefs in fantasies of immense Jewish evil. Fantasies one cannot talk the enemy out of. Rather, before even doing that, Israel would have to accept that the enemy's hatred is groundless. These are not victimized Palestinians. We did not steal Palestine from this invented nationality. Worse, among Israelis like her, there's no ability to hate the enemy back when hatred can be part of your self-defense mechanism, and legitimately so. Elichai ben Ishai, he's the brother of Ruth Fogel, Hashem Yakom Dama, who was stabbed in her bed to death with her husband, Ehud, also stabbed to death, and the stabbing to death in their beds of three of their children at Itamar in 2011, a particularly gruesome crime. He tweeted an open letter to Noah Rothman after he learned of her meeting with what she called Abu Mazen, which is his terrorist nickname. He wrote, quote, "You met a man who pays a salary every month to the murderers of my sister Ruth, husband Ehud, and three of their children, Yoav, Elad, and Hadas. You should be ashamed of yourself. This is wretchedness. You now have no reason to get angry with any organization that might want to send money to Yigal Amir," close quote. She is of the same slice of post-Jewish Israeli society that cannot see in the goyim here the same miserable Jew-hating pogromists that plagued our people for thousands of years in Christendom and Islam. She has no understanding of the Arabs, of Muslims, and why her grandfather's peace plan led not to peace, but monstrous, gruesome, and grisly Jew killing, the likes of which the State of Israel had never known.
ותכף שאכל התפוח, נפל וחטפו שינה, והיה ישן זמן מרובה מאוד, והיה המשרת מנהר אותו, ולא היה נאור כלל. אחר כך הקיס משנתו, ושאל את המשרת, היכן אני בעולם?
אוי, היכן אני בעולם? היכן אני בעולם? היכן אני בעולם? היכן אני בעולם? אוי, היכן אני בעולם? 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 היכן אני Hanani baolam hey Hanani baolam
Okay, that's it for this week, and I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.